Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study in the home, we were talking about disciplining our children and making the pain of the punishment more than the pleasure of doing wrong. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
And then Proverbs chapter 29, verse 17 says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Don't we associate rest with peace and delight with joy? And aren't peace and joy part of the fruit of the Spirit? So do you want a wise son or one that is destined to shame his mother and his family? And again, I ask the question. Is God or Freud and Sprock right? Which one, God or those men, will you give an account to in heaven when it comes to rearing your children? Now, let me just share with you about spanking the children. This is what I did when my children were growing up. Now, people say, well, Brother Andy, you could be arrested for these things. No, the statute of limitations is gone. Our baby is 26 years old. And so, you know, when your youngest child is 26, the time's passed. Although I've told him he's still not too old to get a spanking. But now, what I'm going to give you is not really original with me. But when you spank a child, first you set the child down and have them tell you what they did wrong. By this, you are teaching your child to confess their sin, you see, to God when they get older. So have them tell you what they did wrong. Then ask them, what is the consequence for their wrong? Well, we know as a Christian, the consequence for our sin was death. Fortunately, Jesus paid it all. Let them know that it is not what you want to do, but you're doing what you do because you love them. And you don't want them to be a fool or to be like the world. You see, isn't that the way of Jesus? God so loved the world that he gave his own begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, what I would do in my house when my kids were home, I would have them lay across the bed, and I gave them 7 licks with the belt. Now, 7's just the number of complete judgment in the Scriptures, and so I used that. It may require more in your family's case, and that is fine. But you put that belt right across the face God provided. And again, let me emphasize, make the pain of the punishment greater than the pleasure of doing wrong. If a child takes a cookie and you just smack his hand, he may think later that, you know, a cookie, is, if it's really good, is worth getting smacked on the hand. So, spank them. Make the pain of the punishment greater than the pleasure of doing wrong. And then after you get done with the spanking, leave the room. Give them a few minutes to cry. Now, I wouldn't give them more than 5 minutes of crying time. When the 5 minutes is up, go back into the room and review with them why you gave them a spanking. Let them know that you love them. But let them also know that you're not sorry that you spanked them. You're just sorry that they deserved it. For an example, you have a child that has disobeyed you in some area, and the punishment for that is a spanking. So you take them into the bedroom, you set them down. Johnny, what did you do wrong? And you make Johnny tell you what he's done wrong. Then you say, Johnny, what is the punishment for that? And you let him tell you that it was a spanking. Then you say, Johnny, this is not something I want to do, but I'm going to do it because I don't want you to grow up to be a bad person. This is something that's wrong that you should not do. And spank them. When the spanking is done, you walk out. And then, after you've given them time to cry, walk back in the room. Have them tell you again, "Now, Johnny, why did Daddy spank you? Why did Mommy spank you?" And they tell you, "So you know, I love you, and I hope I don't have to spank you again. I hope that you will learn to obey, because it really hurts my heart, too, when I have to spank you. I'm not sorry I spanked you. I'm just sorry that you deserved it." Now, by the way, let me just say this. I think that in a public place, for example, in a grocery store, I think that if Johnny or Susie are out of line that are doing things that need a spanking, I think rather than to spank them right there, that you take them out to the car or you take them in a private place and spank them. I think right then is the time to do it, but take them out of the public place. Your goal is not humiliation. Your goal is correction. Another thing, let me say, is don't do it in anger. If it's, for example, dealing with the child going to bed, and you say, "Johnny, time to go to bed." And Johnny sits there, he's watching television. 5 minutes later, he said, "Johnny, go to bed." Johnny still sits there. Then the third time, you say, "Johnny, go to bed." And you're mad, and you get up out of your chair. You start towards him. Well, what have you done? Well, you have taught Johnny that you don't mean what you say until you get red in the face and you start screaming. You don't mean it until the third time. What you have to do is teach Johnny first time obedience. And so you tell Johnny to go to bed, and he doesn't. Then you go over and you take him by the hand and you usher him to the bedroom and you spank him for it. You're calm. You're not mad. You're not angry. You're doing this in love. See, more times than not, we communicate to our children that we're not doing it in love. We're doing it in anger because it's ruffled us, not because they've done something wrong. But you see, when you do this in calmness, you're teaching them to listen to the still, small voice. One day, that still, small voice is going to be the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. And that is the voice that corrects them. And if they don't listen to that voice that gives them conviction, it may take the chastening hand of God coming down hard upon them. But if they've learned to listen the first time, then you're directing them in a way they should go. Now let me add, don't get so much into discipline that you forget to dote on your children. Praise that which is spiritually good in a child, but make sure it's spiritually good. Now, one of the things that I admit that I've been guilty of, I'll take the little children and say, "Oh, you're so pretty. Oh, you look so nice." And I might say things of that nature that really were praising physical beauty or something, maybe playing ball or something. And it's not totally wrong, but should we really praise good things that are spiritual instead of carnal things? Now, what I have told you and shared with you in this message takes time. It takes effort and energy. I believe that's why God gives us children when we're young. But these are things that are eternally right. But the most important thing you can give your child is a Christian dad or mom. Do you know that if you died today, that you would go to heaven? How can you give a child instruction and direction to heaven from hell if you're not going yourself? Remember, each child is born into this world going to hell and needs a Savior. One of the best things that I see as a pastor is when I see a mother or a dad or parents together walking forward in the church service at the invitation with their child and reporting they led their child to the Lord that week. You know, I love my grandchildren, but it has blessed my heart to see my children walk to the altar with their children, having led them to the Lord themselves. Could you lead your child to a saving knowledge of Christ? If not, then my friend, you need to get busy and learn to walk with the Lord. But you can't do that till you're first saved. Do you know that heaven is your home? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me." My friend, Jesus is the only way to heaven. And he'll save you. If you'll come to him, he says, him that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. So what must you do? Well, first of all, admit that you are a sinner. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. My friend, that includes me, and that includes you. Be willing to turn from sin. You hear us use the word repent. Repent means to turn from. Acts 17:30 says that God commands all men everywhere to repent because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world. When you repent, you're turning from your sin, but you're also turning from yourself, depending on yourself and your works to get you to heaven. And you're turning to Jesus Christ. You're depending totally, 100%, on what he's done for you and based on his word to save you. You see, Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, died for every sin you ever have or ever will commit. When he rose up from the dead 3 days later, he rose up victorious over hell and death. Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, my friend, Jesus will save you. If you believe that he actually did die on a cross and raised from the dead, literally, physically rose from the dead 3 days later, do you believe that he shed his blood for you, paid the penalty for all your sins entirely? Then trusting that work, you call upon him and receive him into your life as your God and Savior. And you can do that right now because he said in Romans 10:13 that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, that whosoever includes you. Right now, right where you are, you can pray this prayer. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I need forgiveness. Forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood on the cross and died for my sin. I am willing, by God's grace, to turn from my sin. And I right now invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart and my life as my Lord, as my God, as my Savior. Save me right now. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, my friend, if you just prayed that prayer and you asked the Lord to save you, write me and let me know. I want to send you a booklet titled Building Blocks. It's a booklet that will teach on how to grow in the Christian life, how to study the Bible, how to pray, how to get more out of it. As a matter of fact, it's a booklet I think that you could sit down and share it with your family. So please write us. And let us know you've made this decision. You might be out there, you're already saved, but you'd like to have the booklet, you'd like to share it with your family. Just write it, and I'll send it to you absolutely free. I see that my time is up, and I want to thank you for listening today to our Lamp and Light broadcast. And my friend, may the lamp of God's Word be the light that you follow today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.